Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome back to our Supergirl After Show. Tonight, we're talking Season 3, Episode 19, The Fanatical. We'll be talking about Colvell's cult, James's big reveal, and Lena and Supergirl's relationship status. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Not our typical Supergirl intro, but kind of fitting of tonight's episode. Super intense and a little culty. Welcome to our Supergirl After Show. I'm Stephanie Wenger.
Hey, I'm Carolina Benetti.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon,
guys. Lucretia, is your mic? Let's check that.
Checkity check.
Yeah. Seems like...
Yeah,
it feels like she's a little low. We'll get that figured out. So let's jump into the episode, though, and talk a little bit about this cult that we saw earlier in the season, and which it came back tonight in a big way. One of the followers came to James and Kara, or James and Supergirl, I should say, to talk about what happened to her, and she thinks that there is... a nuke that they're building, which doesn't seem like it's necessarily the case, but we'll get into all of it. What did you think of the episode?
Overall, I loved it. I love the episode this week, and I really like that it's like building up towards an epic season finale. I hope it's epic. I think so.
Yeah, this episode was like a lot better than the last couple that I've seen. So yeah, like I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I, of course, wasn't here to talk with you girls last week about it, and I think we just solved Lucretia's mic issue as well, so hopefully you'll be able to hear her a little bit better.
So you guys know, your brilliant producer may or may not have plugged in the mic, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
I was like, I found the mic problem.
Live production,
I was
baby.
Actually going to let that one just scooch on through, but you called it out yourself, so...
the fun of live TV.
It is the fun of live TV. But now,
when you looked down and there was no cord, I was like, nope.
Yeah. So, but now you can hear us all, and now we can actually get into the episode, which is super exciting.
You guys miss me singing Marilyn Manson, but don't worry. Like, I'll make some videos later.
I was going to say, you can catch that on her Instagram later on. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But it should not be missed. So let's talk about this. This person who comes to James and Kara to talk about, I'm trying to find her name, Tanya. And she thinks that they're building a nuke, and is very concerned and basically wants out. She also brings this journal that has, kind of revelations about Covell's experience, I guess, could help with Sam. What did you think of that?
I love the Covell character, and so I'm kind of glad that, you know, we're keeping with this cult, because that is an interesting, you know, aspect, especially when you have such a godlike sort of character at the helm, like Supergirl. I like the idea of this cult existing, and then this sort of being surrounding the World Killers, like they had teased earlier in the season as well.
Absolutely. What about you?
I love that they followed the cult, because last week I was talking about how in the comics there's 5 World Killers, and now we've kind of seen 4 with the 5th in the wings. So I was excited that she came and she brought the book to them, and that they're exploring more of the mysticism behind it. And I think that this is actually going to cause more problems for Supergirl, because it has all of this technology inside of it.
Right.
It's kind of like a Pandora's box. So I was excited.
Right. I feel like this was a great episode of kind of peeling back the layers. We've seen the tease of the World Killers all season, and I was excited to kind of get a little bit more into that through this thing that we actually saw earlier in the season. But I, at least, and fans out there, let me know if you connected this. I didn't necessarily see the connection between the World Killers and this cult at the time, because I felt like it was kind of a weird one-off episode, actually, at the time. I didn't know that it was going to circle back tonight. So that was fun to see. And in terms of they kind of go out to figure out what's happening at the cult, and they see evidence to the fact that they think it's a nuke, but they later figure out, as you reference to, that it is, in fact, that they're going to build another world killer.
Yeah, because, too, it is interesting that they only had three, you know, there's five in the comics, and then there's four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, which is what this tends to mirror in the comics as to more like the Four Horsemen and that sort of story. So it is interesting to see, you know, and they didn't really name this one or even give it much power. So I thought that was odd that they even brought it up, but it was interesting to go that route, that they were building a world killer.
Yeah, because I thought that world killers... I didn't know that they could be "quote unquote" built, right?
And maybe they're all made. That's the thing. So in the comics, all of the world killers are made, and they were kind of like kept offshore of Krypton. So
right, I thought that it was interesting. Right. So I imagined it more of like a Supergirl thing, though, of like she was, you know, like not so much that you could like be in a location and build one at kind of not random, but
they were experiments.
Yeah.
So there was like a whole colony of people, and the five world killers that were in the comics, which we saw three of them, and we kind of learned a little bit about the lore from the 31st century, right? So they were experiments, and basically they're the five that didn't fail. So they've kind of like played with that, and now they're showing us how they make them, which I'm so excited for because it opens the door for so many possibilities on the show.
Right, exactly. And we're getting, as we kind of mentioned, to the end of season three, and we're going into season four. And I always kind of assumed that the world killers were, quote unquote, we talk about the big bad on this show.
Yeah.
And you assume that that was kind of the season three big bad, but this does open up this idea that it could extend into season four. And that's really intriguing to me. And so when we're there, though, we also kind of re-encounter Olivia, who honestly, it took me a minute. I had to Google a little bit about her because I had forgotten her backstory. But she seems kind of like a lost soul at this point.
Yeah, and it's interesting. This girl also played the same character and recurring character in a Law & Order Special Victims Unit in a way.
Thank you for the shout-out, Lucretia. Yes. Nice.
And I was like, oh, so we're getting her recurring here again with, like, sort of the same sort of problem but a different, you know, way of doing it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. So what you're saying is that she really needs to be grounded. Her parents need to really get, like, a lock and key on where this girl's at. Just,
I feel like it's...
believe she was an orphan on this show. Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, right. But just completely... Yeah, she just feels like the person who would join a cult like this, right?
Exactly.
And that is, she's lost, completely no direction. Lost. And it's sad to see, because she at one point believed in Supergirl and clearly... is really just kind of at a loss. There's really only one way to describe it, and kind of attack Supergirl, which was awful to see.
Yeah, this really reminds me of an episode of Boy Meets World where Sean joins a cult.
Wow. I mean, I watched every episode of Boy Meets World, but that was not where this episode took me, so I'm glad that it took you there.
But do you think that now moving forward, she'll do something productive with her life? Because now she's been saved by Supergirl not once, but twice. Do you think if we ever... glimpse at her character again, since they like to bring people back, she'll be doing something very productive?
Potentially. I don't know that we'll necessarily, maybe in next week's episode we'll get kind of a more formal ending, but I don't know that her story is going to extend much more than that. I feel like now we've seen her kind of Supergirl save her, as you said, twice, and it feels like Supergirl's kind of bringing her to the right path, and I don't know if there's much more to tell at that point.
No, I was super surprised just to see her come back again, which was, I was kind of excited that they were bringing the cult of, like, you know, Rao back with everything, because it does open the door to more possibilities, but then it also made me wonder, like, are they planning on peppering this girl throughout the series? Like, maybe Supergirl writers want to show the impact that she has on people long term. That's what I was kind of thinking in the back of my head. I wonder if we'll see these characters kind of like co-starred in.
I feel like I've had characters that I've become emotionally attached to on this show, and I like want to know their whole arc. And oftentimes, once Supergirl kind of writes her ship, if you will, you don't see her again, unfortunately. But I agree with you. I want to get into James's role in all of this, but before we do, we have a little bit of a word from our founder, Maria Menounos.
Hey guys, if you want to learn, have fun, and grow in all areas of your life, we have a great podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. It's free, you guys. And be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was the girls at the Supergirl panel that sent you there. So make sure to check out Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition.
Absolutely. One of my favorite podcasts right now. She's doing amazing work on there. So definitely check that out after you finish watching our podcast.
Yes.
Let's talk about James and this amazing kind of role that he's taken on as guardian. And he, of course, is helping Tanya and, you know, goes and wants to fight against these Covell followers. And what ends up happening is that the police come and ultimately think that he's in the wrong. And it is, again, shedding a light on a social issue. And it's something that Supergirl does so well with police profiling. We, of course, see this in the news time and time again. And, you know, I say it all the time on this podcast. I just think that these writers deserve so much credit for bringing these types of issues into a show that's about a superhero.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time they've brought up, you know, this particular issue, and I really wish Tori was here.
Absolutely,
it's going to be real awkward to have three white women discuss this, but this was a huge part of the episode, and it is something that we do, you know, at least see from the other side often, and I like that they brought that up, because as you mentioned, that's what Supergirl does so well, is use these real issues and sort of bring them in, like, in a fantastical way, like Buffy always did, and...
The message is so clear when they bring these up, when they bring these issues up. It's so, you know, it's so prevalent in the world right now. And to have it discussed in this way and brought into primetime television is so important. I can't highlight enough how much I love this.
Really glad that they're addressing police brutality, especially with all the profiling that goes on. However, and this is really serious. Our country has had almost 300 school shootings this year. That's insane. And the fact that they decided to have a little girl shoot a gun and fire it off at his face really deeply upset me, because there are probably a lot of children that were triggered on this episode because they may have lived through that. That is a reality that a lot of kids are living through right now, and children watch this show. So I was really upset that they chose to fire the gun, not from the police, but from the cult, at his face. And then he, like, survives and they get off, and it's like you show aggression and you do it, and it's almost like glorifying guns in a way. And I'm really anti-civilians having guns. As, like, a Navy veteran, I just feel that you need more training to own a handgun. And that was something that really upset me. And if my views upset people, I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. And I'm glad that they're highlighting the police brutality, but I wish that they would have taken into consideration the real trauma people are living in their homes right now as we're having this podcast in the studio because of what they've gone through this year.
No, and I definitely agree with you on what you're saying. I think gun control is such an important topic and something that we can absolutely discuss, but I do want to get into kind of James's character and what this incident meant for James's character. And
I couldn't find myself addressing it without talking about the elephant
absolutely.
In the room.
I appreciate that. So let's talk about James later reveals that this is not the first time that he's had this racial profiling happen to him.
Yeah.
Of course, at 7 on a family vacation. So you know that this is something that is deeply affecting him, and kind of pushes forward this notion of, should I come out and say who I am, that I'm guardian, I am a black man and I am guardian. And he, of course, talks to Lena about this and kind of realizes that it's important, that people need to realize that he is saving lives as a black man.
Well, and that's what I liked, is his conversation with Lena was so real and honest. And that's why I'm actually very supportive of this couple, and why I hate, you know, and I'll save it for predictions, what I think might happen, is because they are so great and they're so honest. Because, you know, Lena is someone who can't relate to what he's saying. But as he's saying it, like, it's like her eyes are open, much like with a lot of us. And I think she was a little inspired by the fact that he wanted to do this so that it inspired more people.
Right, exactly. And I think, like, becoming the, like, at first he worries that, like, people won't appreciate the fact that he's a Black man, but then he realizes that it is because he's a Black man that he should come forward. And I think that that is such a strong moment, again, to have on primetime television.
I think it's really important because people need to realize what racial profiling even is. A lot of people don't realize. And that story that he told about being a little kid and having that happen, that's not uncommon, especially here in the United States. It happens all the time, and that's what has sparked an entire movement across the nation.
Absolutely. And again, I feel like they're just doing a phenomenal job on the show with this. And I love Lena and James's relationship.
I was just going to say, there was one line the writers put in that I thought was sensational. He said, racism was the first form of bullying. And that is so true.
It's so true.
And that's on such a surface level. I'm not trying to like downplay it or anything, but it was just such a phenomenal line, and his delivery was chilling.
And I also love that we're getting more of James. It's something I know we've talked about a lot on the podcast, is that we often feel like he's underutilized on the show. And with this kind of storyline, he's absolutely not. It's so important.
Yeah, because, like, I remember last season, his best episode was the one where he related to the little alien boy who, you know, he had, was actually African American as well. And that was just so powerful, you know, him talking about, and then talking about Clark and accepting him and things like that, because he too was an alien, and just how they relate it to, you know, even the fantastical elements. But I know that ZSB Lou in the chat has brought up that they preferred Black Lightning's take on the same story, but they really, you know, liked it, and they were wondering if they maybe had used some of the writers as a reference. Yeah. Really,
but you know, not all the same people that watch Black Lightning are necessarily watching Supergirl and vice versa. So I think that the more that we can bring attention to the issue on TV, the better the reception.
Absolutely. I think that, it goes back to just telling this story. Even if people preferred Black Lightning's, I think having this idea reinforced is so important. So with that, I feel like we don't actually get James's reveal tonight. It's just kind of this notion that he wants to reveal that he's Guardian. What do we think about that end conversation with Supergirl? At first, I thought he was actually encouraging Supergirl to reveal who she was, that she's Kara, and ultimately, that's not the case. He's just saying that this is his story and that it's important for him, and he understands why she wouldn't.
That's what I liked, is because he made it a point to say, like, it is different for everybody. And that's something I think that we tend to forget, is that everybody's story is different, and there are perfectly valid reasons. Like he said, you know, hers is about protecting even him, like all of them, and what would happen, because people do that. But as opposed to him, who the consequence could possibly be good things, like inspire other little boys to be like him and things like that. So, like, that's the difference, is the consequences of her are dire as opposed to his, which could potentially lead to, you know, better. Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't want Supergirl to reveal her identity. Although I made a joke in my notes when I was going through it. I was like, isn't she on board after all these crossovers? It's like the super secret, in quotation, identity, where I don't even understand, like, Star Labs, people just walk in. Like, you never know. You turn on the flash and they've got the whole town just hanging out. So
I agree with that. But I feel like when Supergirl reveals who she is, the series is done. I don't think that there's really a series post that. Like,
no, she can't.
Yeah,
she can't come
she
out.
She can't. Like, it's not, like, the whole point is this, like, balance between her real life and being a sister and a friend and all these things, and then having these fantastical powers. And I feel like that's such a huge element of the show.
But do you want her to tell Lena? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like at this point, it's going to be towards the end of the season. We'll get into it in predictions. And we have a little bit more of this episode to discuss before we get to news and gossip and predictions. But please go on, rate, comment, let us know what you're thinking. We love hearing from you. You can, of course, find us on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud. We go on, read all the comments, and, you know, we'll respond back. And we just love having a conversation with you. Of course, every Monday night, we're live in the chat with you all. So please let us know what you're thinking about it, any fan theories you have, all that good stuff. All right, so let's get into a little bit more about Lena. And so as we kind of teased, that Lena and Supergirl are kind of at odds over James's reveal that Supergirl, of course, asked him to find out Lena's secrets, see what she had going on.
I feel like Lena's responses to Supergirl when she tries to, like, give an olive branch are so tough. They're just so tough. Like, there's no way for Supergirl to come back from that and build a relationship there. And it gives me anxiety for when Lena finds out that Supergirl is Kara.
As I'll say, like, it does me too, just because I feel like they're repeating a Smallville, you know, storyline. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, I'm still on Lena's side, because even though Supergirl is giving this olive branch, Lena is at least upfront with her about her feelings. And I think that's the difference, is like, you know, she's very upfront and honest with her. And that's not how Supergirl's been. And, too, I do see both sides, but it is hard to, like, be mad at Lena for not wanting to accept a solid branch other than, like, a work. She's like, we're not friends. This is a work relationship, and I'll work with you. She's very honest. But, yeah, you know, not everybody has to be friends, and it's unfortunate, but...
Well, yeah. I think it's sad to see, like, a bridge burn so badly, right? Like, that used to be, they seemed to be true friends. They would have girls' nights, and it seems like at this point, they're so far apart on everything. Supergirl wants Lena to kind of stop using kryptonite, essentially, and Lena can't believe that Supergirl would ask James to essentially spy on her. And I don't see them coming back together. It'll probably take James's involvement, I would guess, in order to kind of mend those fences.
I just really want them to be on the same page again, because I'm such a shipper for, like, female friendships and just, like, empowering women. And I love them both on screen as friends and allies. And imagine what a duo they would be if they were friends like, working as a team in, like, the superhero solving crime realm. So I'm very much on the I want Lena to forgive Kara train.
I agree with you.
Yeah, because as I say, I don't want it to be a repeat of Smallville, but I do feel like in order for Lena to be able to forgive Kara is we need to find out that she's Supergirl. And again, I still think it's kind of insane that we have not had that conversation yet, because it's very obvious and Lena's really smart. But it is one of those things that it has to happen this season or it's never going to go well.
Well, I think it's also a notion of, like, suspending belief, right? Because it's no one's going to be like, oh, without the glasses, it's a totally different person. I mean,
although, to be fair, Henry Cavill put the glasses on and walked through New York City's Times Square right under his Superman poster, like, back and forth. And nobody noticed.
True, but I feel like, again, like...
In your daily life.
Yeah, in your daily life, people who know you would...
But it has been proven.
Right. No. I think that's a totally valid point. Absolutely. But I just feel like, in this case, she's around both so often, and we see it. She's next to Supergirl. Then, like, in a scene or two later, she is next to Kara. And to not be able to put those puzzle pieces together is... You do have to realize you're living in... You know,
totally
a supernatural whatever.
But you know what I don't think is fair? That they keep putting Jimmy in the middle. And, like, Kara is knowingly putting Jimmy in the middle. And that ticks me off.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Because Lena has been, you know, at least honest with James. And she knows they're friends and doesn't want to put the... And that's just what I'll say. Is, like, kind of like how Lex was on Smallville a lot of times. You're like, he's right. Let's just face it. And the chat's even weighed in on some. I mean, like, Laura Elms brings up, like, Lena's mother Lillian did state last season. And it was brought up in this one about, you know... She will hate Supergirl when she finds out, you know, for the betrayal. And Davey Elmer brings up that, you know, the difference between the Smallville Lex and this Lena is we've not really seen any evil from Lena, but we saw a little in Lex here or there. But, you know, he was trying to be a better person, guys. And then they threw it all away.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, certainly, that I think it is going to take Jimmy stepping in to make it work between them.
But then I wonder, is this going to damage his relationship with Lena? Because is she going to be so... She has so much anger still.
Yeah.
You know, so is she going to take this out on James, like, oh, I can't believe you didn't tell me kind of situation?
I mean, I think that that's a real possibility. I also could see that he realizes he aligns more with Supergirl, like, because they're both...
Oh, that could be ugly.
Right? And kind of steps away from Lena. It's a possibility.
I don't see that dramatic happening.
Ooh moment.
Well, why don't you see it happening?
Just because they built up their relationship and their trust so much where he even, like, you know... betrayed Supergirl in a way. So I was just like, I actually disagree, and that's why I have predictions about what I think happens.
Okay,
to James.
Well, we'll hold off on that. I want to get into that in a little bit, but before we do, can we talk about how sweet Ruby and Alex are together? Yeah. They're just such a sweet duo. And Alex, of course, earlier in the season, we know that she always wanted to be a mother, and this is kind of giving her that opportunity in so many ways. I mean, she's jumping into the teenage years, so let's be honest, that's rough. But
yeah. Like, I was like, she's in atomic waters. That's what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah, I was like, it's not easy. And Ruby, of course, is going through so much.
Yeah, and that's one thing I will say is, like, at least with Ruby, she's not like a bratty kid. What she's going through is really rough, and even then, though she doesn't want to go out and stuff, she's still not like that big of a deal to deal with. So Sam obviously did a pretty good job with this kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I really like the bond that Alex is like, and I like that it is more of like a big sister bond, like she is with Kara. It's not this instant mother. Like, she wants to, like, take her on a motorcycle. She wants to dye her hair. That's what I would expect from her, and that's what I like.
Yeah, I mean, she's acting almost as like a mother / big sister, right?
Yeah.
So like giving her experiences, letting her dye her hair blue, like not every mother's gonna allow that. So like it was very sweet to see, and I like that kind of by the end of the episode you saw Ruby realize that like Alex was good for her and that Alex was gonna always protect her.
Well, thanks to Marin, I love his character on the show, and I really loved seeing her get to kind of like experience a different point of view by letting Marin in and teaching him. And it was kind of nice to see both Alex and I'm blanking.
Alex.
The Green Martian.
Oh,
John.
Thank you. Thank you so much. John Johns. How did I forget that? Yeah, but it was so nice to see like John and Alex just kind of like take a step back and stop being overbearing, because Alex was really trying to overcompensate to connect, which I understand. She's desperate to connect, especially after such a traumatic event for her. But it was nice to see that sometimes if you just leave people who need help together, they'll sort it out for themselves.
Absolutely. And there, again, I feel like we've mentioned this before on our podcast, but this is, again, a storyline that you don't often see on kind of television, especially the CW, like the aging parent and handling that, and then having this teenager who's struggling with the with this aging parent and kind of how they unite over kind of being, it, for lack of a better description, feeling like an outsider, that they're not understood.
Well, it's cool for his dementia, because in a way, he almost gets to work on it, because she's asking him questions out of total and genuine curiosity, because she's a child.
Yeah.
So it's not like he feels an adult is, like, dumbing down to ask him questions that they might not find interesting because they're trying to, quote-unquote, like, help him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, a kid that he wants to teach, because it's a natural instinct for the older you are, the more you want to teach someone that's younger than you.
Absolutely. And I think it's such a nice bond. And I hope we get more
totally
of it.
Really nice, yeah.
As the season continues, right? Like,
yeah, because this was a really sweet way of, like, sort of helping them both out. And I thought it made more sense than having the arcade really work out as Alex and John are trying to plan. Yeah,
absolutely. And I feel like Alex also, one of my favorite moments in the episode was certainly when she mentions that she's going to always protect her. And she doesn't know what the future holds for her, but, like, she'll always be there. And I felt like that is such a mom thing. Like, good, bad, whatever, like, she's going to be there.
Well, Alex has a big heart, so it's also really nice to see them, like, still working on that storyline and just growing her character.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so I have a fun one to start out with. I love some casting gossip. That's always one of my favorites when we get that in. So Supergirl is casting its first transgender character. A casting notice went out this week for a character named Nina. She's a transgender woman in her early 20s, and she's described as a young Cat Grant, which is definitely kind of a... I feel like a character or a vibe that's been missing on the show since season one.
Yeah, because Cat Grant is the best character on this show, even when she's not on it.
Absolutely. I mean, I just miss Calista Flockhart so much. And then, so she's like a confident fashionista, and she's going to be a new member of the investigative reporting team with a quick banter with the other reporters, and she's expected to play a significant role in season four. So I'm really excited for this. I think it's awesome that there's going to be a transgender character on the show. Greg Berlanti, of course, is a producer of this, so with it comes as no surprise that he's all about showing diversity, and he was, of course, the producer of Love, Simon. So the first, amazing. I'm really excited.
And I mean, hats off to Greg Berlanti, man. The guy has 13 shows on the air and is ruling 7 nights of television on a network. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, he is involved in Riverdale. I mean, you name it on the CW, and he's probably involved in it.
Yeah, and I just love how far he's come, because I've grown up watching all of his shows, like Everwood, Brothers and Sisters, like, you know, Eli Stone. I miss that show. But yeah, like, he's just come to literally owning this network.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like, I feel like I just found out, and I would have to look it up again, that like an early CW show he was involved with, and to see it grow into this is amazing. And I mean, props to him. And also, again, for showing and really showing up and casting diverse roles and showing everyone on screen. I think it's so important.
What I love the most out of all the CW shows is that it doesn't matter. Anybody could be anything. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a mayor. You can be black, white, Asian, they're all, purple,
they're,
male, female.
They're all
it
about their
matter.
Blind casting. So, and I think that's, again, such an important thing in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, and I almost forgot about this news, but Derek Hogan brought it up. Stephen Amell mentioned that Batwoman will be a part of the CW crossover.
Yeah, very excited for that.
He also said we're going to see more of Gotham itself.
Yeah, that'll be the city. But yeah, Batwoman will be interesting because in canon, she's a lesbian, Kate Kane. And they had at one point teased her on Supergirl as possibly being, you know, Maggie's ex. And then that didn't happen. So I kind of wonder if maybe we'll get another hookup for Alex in the crossover, because I would love to.
Alex is going to turn into the hookup queen.
I love she doesn't get my Sam romance that I keep wanting. But like, I'm all down for Batwoman.
The one thing I do wish that they would do is I wish they would do something where Supergirl's universe became streamlined with the rest of the universes that we know.
Yeah. I agree with that. It does feel a little bit separated from everything, but that's what I love about the crossovers is you kind of get
maybe that's what will happen. Maybe Flash will do another dumb thing and we'll end up with Supergirl on their Earth.
Who knows? Yeah. And then, like, Lucretia, do you have one more?
Yeah, and we may have two more. Since the chat was mentioning this, I thought I'd bring it up. But we'll give you good news first. Like, good news is we have the first image of Zachary Levi as Shazam. Like, an official image. Because, believe me, I've been scouring the internet for those pictures all since this was announced. And I've seen a few, and he looks great in the costume. But this one is just adorable. Him next to a big picture of himself.
So fun. Yeah, that's amazing.
This is why Flynn Rider's my Disney prince, guys. I'm so excited for him to be Shazam. Like, because he didn't get to do much as fan role in the Marvel Universe. And Zach is, if out of anybody, deserving of being, you know, a superhero.
Absolutely.
Because he's kind of like that in real life with all the work he does for Operation Smile. So no matter when he sticks his foot in his mouth, just so you guys know, he is a hero. But yeah, and to unfortunate news, since you guys have been asking, I thought I would mention it and sort of ask you guys thoughts. The chat was really curious about, I don't know if you guys have heard the news about Allison Mack from Smallville. She was Chloe. Yes. The cult, you know, accusations that are there, like, and with the given storyline, does this change your view of Smallville? Because as I say, these are characters and these were actors. And believe me, I know a few actors from Smallville personally. and they are fine people. So, like, it doesn't change my view of the show. But what about you?
I honestly didn't watch Smallville, so I don't have a huge opinion of that. I just, in terms of, I always have a trouble when I, this just is such a crazy story, and I feel like I don't really want to comment on, it's so complicated and nuanced and awful from the allegations. So I think at that point, you just kind of, yeah, it's something that I...
Same. Didn't ever really watch Smallville, and I don't really have an opinion.
I mean, when you read this stuff, it is beyond terrible. So, yeah, the allegations against her and against the entire organization are unfathomable. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just awful. But, you know, same thing with Bryan Singer. I mean, that doesn't change my view of Superman Returns.
I feel like you would have a much better. Yeah, I was going to say, you have a much better, like, for you, it seems like. Yeah. Smallville doesn't really change. With that, I think we can get into some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Where are my lights? I put my hand up. I was so excited. There we go. I was like, I get nothing.
So let's talk about these predictions. Of course, I kind of want to know what you think. I want to start off with what we think is going to happen between Kara and Mon-El.
I think he's staying with Kara. Like, I literally yelled road trip whenever they were getting in the car. And, like, the conversation between him and Jean was, like, adorable. And I'm like, yeah, this is them getting back together. Because he is going to be honest.
They are so cute. Yeah. I just need them to shack up, okay? Mm. I'm ready.
We're all clearly fans of this couple, and I know people had issues because, of course, he has another woman in his life, but she seems to be giving him kind of a loose rein to figure out what he wants.
She was like, stay! If she really wanted him, she would have been like, I need you to get your head on straight and come back to the future. That's what I would have said.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And she didn't.
It's going to be interesting. So, any other predictions you girls want to shout out?
Well, I keep... You know, there's been rumors that someone was going to die at the end of this season. And just this episode in particular was his best moment. And sadly, that is when characters die in this universe. I'm looking at you, Laurel Lance. But yeah, when they have their best moments is when they're going to die. And I think James will die this season. And that is,
That is really dark, Lucretia.
I don't want it to happen, but I just know you're cruel bastards.
So dark. I just love James's storyline right now. I feel like we've waited so long to have him have a big moment, and this feels like such an important big moment that I don't want to see it end. I hope that he continues on to season 4, 5, 6, whatever. Like,
What you're saying is that he's going to come back in another form.
Not necessarily. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just think he'll, you know, that's the thing. It's like Supergirl doesn't play with other earthly people usually, but just to have M'Kod back, they might do that for an episode, but I don't see them doing like a Black Siren situation.
And we of course saw that Supergirl's mother returns next week. What do we think about that? Any thoughts?
I think that we're going to see more into the World Killer plot, and that we're going to see in the comic books, because they love to use them on this show, which I love, how they were experiments. And it was kind of like, if it didn't work for you, you just kind of died, or you were messed up and you just kind of went away. And she's going to learn some hard facts about her mom, because I think her mom oversaw the project.
Interesting. Okay. Well, with that, I think we are to the end. I feel like we've discussed everything, and I'm super excited to see where this season goes. And you can find AfterBuzz at AfterBuzz TV all over social media. And, of course, you can find me at Stephanie Wenger all over the web.
Hey, guys, I'm Carolina Benetti. You can find me on Twitter at Carolina Benetti and on Instagram at LenaBean113.
And since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one, and download my podcast, Mrs. Brightside and The Red Room. They can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean right now, and feel free to tweet me if they need to be on another app.
Yeah, definitely check those out, and we'll see you all next week for more Supergirl. See you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.